Well, let me put it right without touching anything.
Yeah, that's
I'm just going to put it
right
somewhere
there.
Where you can be heard.
Yeah.
Your voice is soft, so I want to make sure that everybody can listen to it on the tape. Once again, I want to tell you that my name is Sergeant Young from the Sheriff's Department, and I'm here to investigate what happened tonight. It's now 3:19, and the interview is being conducted at Pleasant Valley Hospital in the emergency room. And, you're looking like you've got an injury to your upper left arm?
Yeah.
Okay. anything else? Any other injuries? Or?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. It sounds like I spoke to the doctor, and he says it appears to be relatively minor. So
yeah.
It's not like it's threatening or anything.
It just missed. Well, it missed the bone. See
okay.
What it went through?
Yes, sir. I can.
It's just lucky it didn't shatter the bone, but that had a problem there for sure.
Okay. Well, then let me advise you of your rights so you understand what your rights are, and we'll conduct the interview. What I use is a Sheriff's Department card, so the standard that we read the rights to everyone the same way, regardless, so everybody has the same understanding of what their rights are. And our advisement is that in this case, you're suspected of committing, and we don't know yet exactly what happened. What we're looking at, it could be an assault with a deadly weapon. We have law enforcement officers involved in this. What we're trying to determine is exactly what did take place. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to talk to a lawyer and have one present with you before and while being questioned. If you cannot afford to hire a lawyer, one will be appointed to represent you before any questioning at no cost to you. Do you understand each of those rights, Mr. Langley, as I've read them and explained them to you?
Yeah, I understand. Of course, I don't have a lawyer. I mean, right now.
Well, if you wanted one, one could be appointed for you by the court, or you could determine if you wanted to pick a lawyer. That's up to you. Having those rights in mind, do you wish to talk to me now about this particular incident?
Well, I could tell you exactly what happened. I mean, you know, the whole deal. I mean, it was a...
Yeah, but having these rights in mind, you want to talk to me?
Let me think this over, okay?
Okay.
Maybe I should think it over, because after all, let this go into it. I don't have anything to hide, sir.
Okay. So you want to talk to me then?
Yeah, why
okay.
not?
Okay.
Another thing, why did the wife, she didn't have a lawyer or nothing, did she?
Oh, no. And she's in this case, she's just a witness. We have her just standing by right now. She's not in custody or anything like that. All we're doing is taking care of her so that she's okay. Let me ask you a couple questions, kind of set the history of what happened tonight and kind of get back to... Your side of the events. And let's go back a little bit and ask you, were you home all day today? Were you working?
No, I had to carry the wife down here to the doctor over here, Dr. Moe.
Okay, she said that she had been under the care of a physician.
Yeah, she just got out of the hospital.
And that was sometime this afternoon?
No, it was early this morning.
Oh, okay.
We went down there before he, she had pro-time, they call it. They have to take some blood out and check it because she's got problems. See, bad problems, you know.
Okay, and that was early this morning. And
yeah, about 9:30 when we were down there.
What did you do after you finished up with her and her medical attention?
I went out and I watched the barbecue out. We used, we had the kids over yesterday and went out and washed the barbecue out, and got the grease off the grill and all that good stuff, and did some watering around in the backyard.
Household chores.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This evening, later on in this evening, you stayed home most of the day?
We stayed home all the rest of the day since we went to the doctor.
Okay.
Where'd
you have dinner tonight?
At home.
At home.
Yeah.
And that was approximately 1, sir.
Oh, let's see. Oh, we listened to the 4 o'clock news, so 4:30, and it was right after that. So.
Okay. Did you have any alcohol at dinner or later on in the evening?
I haven't tasted a drop of alcohol. I can't even remember.
Okay, so you haven't drank any alcohol in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you remember what you had for dinner?
Yeah, I ate two hot dogs. Let's see. Oh, yeah, and a good green salad.
Big night, huh? Two hot dogs? Okay.
Yeah, well, when you're not doing much, you know.
Yeah.
Hang off of it all you can.
Okay. Why don't you kind of, we'll step back then to this evening's events, and when did all of it start? What precipitated this?
You know what CB radio is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have a real good CB radio.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tower with Moonraker 4 and also another ground plane. And it's a very good station. Okay, there's a fella that lives down below us that bleeds. I don't know if you know what I mean by bleeding, but there's
steps all over you.
Yeah, just and he just screams into his radio, okay? And well, we've asked him, you know, hey, turn it down. You know, we're neighbors and we'll try to get along here, you know. Just turn it down. And we get along a lot better, but he won't pay any attention. You know. So, but that wasn't the case tonight. There's a whole bunch of young folks in this town that they all have four wheelers and that kind of stuff, and they got CB radios, and they have actually taken the limiters out of those CB radios, and that's strictly against the FCC rules. They should never do that. So that makes them just bleed terrible. So much static, you know. You try to talk and have a local conversation, and they whistle and they jump in and they make comments and the dirtiest mouth you've ever heard in all your life. Well, we talk sideband CB all the time. We don't fool with AM. We quit AM. Oh, we've been on the CB about 20 years, okay? Mm-hmm. And I've been here for 40 years almost.
Are you a licensed CB-er?
We used to be, but okay. CB, you know, they threw it all away, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and
I thought maybe you were more in involved in it than
not
a ham.
Not in ham, no.
Okay.
I can go ham on. But those guys have been harassing us for a long, long time, and they go up on the hillsides and they're running about 400 and 500 watt leads. Okay, well, you're only allowed. On AM, you're allowed 4 watts by FCC rules. But they don't pay much attention to that at all. And every time, though, it seems like every night when we try to talk, we talk to two different guys. I don't talk on it very much anymore,
because
I can't hear very well. And you know, somebody else gets in there at least a bit when I'm trying to talk to somebody. It confuses me because I can't hear that well no more, you know. So, but these guys, every night, seems like when we're trying to talk to a guy across town and one over in the El Rio, and that's about the only ones we've talked to. And for the wife, does most all of that. And every time, it seems like every night we talk at 8 o'clock and don't talk more than 15, 20 minutes. But those guys, I don't know why they can't still, we tell them, hey, there was a, I don't know what you call it, agreement amongst the CBers way back in when the 23 channel, everybody had 23 channel, and then the 40 channel came in, okay. So that old sideband, had sideband on 23, but they, you know, they come up with a 40 channel. Okay, we didn't talk AM no more, we talked sideband, okay, sideband radio. These guys only talk AM radio that's running around here in these fancy little vehicles and stuff, you know. They like I said, they took all the limiters out of the radios, and they're using 400 and 500 watts, all they can possibly pull from a generator, you know. And they screwed up royally, and the talk is unbelievable. So there was agreement made to, that we, the side banners would use from 30 on up to 40. That's 10 camels, okay? And they could have from 30 back down. That's 30 camels to talk on. Well, instead of that, they want to come up there and harass us. And that's what they do. They try to block. But we have a powerful station. I mean, it's a good station, and I know what to do with a CB radio. I've been at it long enough, and we got the best arrows you can get, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't bleed on nobody. And I can, like, we can talk on the radio, you won't see not one thing on TV, or you won't hear us on nobody's phone and nothing like that. We run a clean station, very good one. But they got to come up there and harass. Well, tonight the wife was talking to a guy across town, and they came up and they tried to block her. You know, they tried to tee up, and this guy was whistling it into his microphone. And it makes hell of a squeal, you know. But he never did block her, you know, cut her out. But he was interfering with the guy that she was talking to. See? And she, you know, couldn't hear him that real well, but she was making the suit of the other guy, all right, because we had a better station, better arrows and everything. And so that went on, and then whenever she got through talking, she said, you know what, I'm gonna tell them guys, if they don't quit blocking me and fouling up, I'm going to go down on channel 22. We talk on 38 all the time. Uh-huh. Go down on 22, and I'm going to play some music for them a while and see if they can't straighten up and leave us alone. Well, she went down there and she played some music.
You chose that channel because that's the one that they use primarily?
That's the one they use all the time.
Uh-huh.
Okay. To just, you know, remind them, hey, come on, be decent about it, you know?
Uh-huh.
So that's what was happening. She was playing the music, some music on that radio. There was one, first there was a guy come up there in a four-wheel drive, looked like a black Toyota.
Uh-huh. Now when you say
pickup,
came up there, you mean came to your house?
Came up to the house, and he stopped right just across the street from the house. He got out, you know, and he walked around there a little bit, and I thought, you know, come on. So, and it looked like he was going to come over to the house, and I walked down the driveway, and I said, no, I didn't say anything to him at that time. So he went up, he turned, and he went back and got in his truck. He left.
Did you have any reason to believe that this individual was involved with the CBers?
Oh, definitely. He
and
had a CB whip on his truck.
So four-wheel drive, Toyota, dark in color?
It was dark in color, and it had roll bars. So he left. In a little while, he come back, and there was another car following him, a white pickup, and it had a CB arrow on it, and they stopped again.
Do you have any idea about what time this was?
Oh, it's getting along, probably 9 o'clock.
Okay, and this was the second time, 9 o'clock,
yeah.
When the
second time, they're back already.
First
well,
time was about, when the black truck showed up, was about
Probably around 9 when he showed up. Then it probably 20 minutes later, he was back, and this other truck was following him. Okay? And I walked down to the edge of the driveway, and I said, get out of here, fellas. Don't come on my property. Because I was afraid they're going to try to come on the property and do away, you know, do away with the radios and stuff.
Why did you feel that? Did you... You felt afraid of something.
Hey, I'm 70 years old.
Okay.
You know, I can't battle anymore like I might have at one time. But I said, go on, get out of here. Leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Did they give you any reason to believe that there was a problem? Did they say anything?
No, they didn't say anything, you know, but they knew that the key was down on that radio there, the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the problem was. The key was down on the radio, on the house. All right. So they went on finally after fooling around there a little bit. And I just stood right where I was at. I didn't go on down. And they were down part of the way down the driveway. And I just stood there waiting. They left. I told them, come on, get out of here, you know. They left. And a little bit later, here come three cars. There was this black truck again, this white truck. And then there was a Camaro behind it.
What time was this?
Oh, it must have been 12 o'clock. Somewhere around 12 o'clock.
At what color was the Camaro?
Huh?
Do you remember what color the Camaro was?
No, it was dark. It looked like it might be a blue one. And it had a long CB arrow on the back of it. Then I told them to get out of there, leave. And they hesitated for quite a while, but stayed right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, one of them said, what the hell did he call me? Said, kiss my ass or something like
mm-hmm.
that, Some smart remark, Then he took off. Well, in about another 30 minutes, here comes another car. A pickup truck. And it was red and had a long, like a streak, painted white down the sides of it. On the side of it. It probably run almost the length of the truck. And he came up there, and there was two or three guys in it. I couldn't say for sure, but it looked like three guys to me. And they started in to really, they was going to cue me real good.
Can you remember anything that they said? Or?
Well, they finally wound up and said, why don't you, have you got the key down? And I said, well, we might have. And I said, we have asked you guys over and over and over to leave us alone and stay off of, 38 with AM up there. And don't try to block us. You guys have been trying to block us.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, they said something, but I don't remember exactly what they said about me. But I think they called me some damn dirty name. I forgot what it was.
That's okay.
Well,
it's liable to come back to you. And
yeah.
Right now,
yeah. Anyway,
I understand.
Anyway, they took off, and so I stayed. I was sitting in the garage where I was sitting with the door up, That's where I was at. So I got up and I went in the house and I said, I think I don't get them guys to come back and give us any more trouble.
Mm-hmm. You told this to your wife?
Yeah. And I said, I think I'm going to go to bed. She said, well, why don't you sit there at the dining room window and kind of watch for a while to make sure everything's going to settle down here, So that's where I was at when this guy in that white truck made two trips by the house, and he had a terrible bright light. I mean a real bright one, one of these halogen handheld lights, everything. Because he was shining all over the house and all over the garage, and all around. He was shining all around. Well, Jesus, that's a bright light, But then when I went on then, I sat down there at the window, and I was going to go to bed, and I sat down there at the window, and all at once I see all these damn bright lights.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, there's three, four of them. I told Vi, I said, hey, there's a whole bunch of them out here, And I said, well, I'm going to have to go out there and get them off the property, because they look like they was already on the property to me, these bright lights. Well, I opened the door and stepped outside.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to tell them, you know, get off the property, you know, and somebody hollered police.
Mm-hmm.
And then the police, I thought, well, they're kind of stunned or making out like they're the police to, you know, get me out here and probably beat the hell out of me. So that's when I said, get out of here, you're not the police. You know, because I couldn't see, man, there's too many bright lights.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no way I could see anybody out there, but I know they're there because they had these lights. And about that time, all hell tore loose. The shooting all took start playing over. I thought to myself, well, hell, it is a cop, you know. And they said, put the gun down and hit the deck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pushed, shoved the gun. I said, hold it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I put the gun down and I laid down. But before I was going over to put the gun down, and the shooting all started and taking place, and something stinging like, you know, bees or something, but it was something flying, and I guess it was they said it was a plaster on the house, I guess the bullet was hitting the house or something. I was only about 8 feet from the house when this, all the shooting took place, and God dang, though, there was, man, something hit me in the arm, and God awful ache, you know. And I still was hanging on to the gun, but I had never released the safety.
Okay.
It was still on. I hadn't pushed no safety on that gun.
When did you first pick up the gun? Now, when you were sitting out in the garage.
When I was sitting in the garage.
When you were sitting in the garage, you were sitting there with a gun.
Yeah.
And that was early. And you picked up the gun and had it in the garage because of your fear of these individuals.
That's right. Hell, you know, them guys, they sit up there and you don't know them guys, you know. You don't know who they are. You never seen them. We never talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't.
How did they know where you live?
They T-hunt you.
Mm-hmm.
What they call T-hunt.
Mm-hmm.
They signal. They follow the signal. All you have to do is take care. You can disconnect your radio from the arrow,
mm-hmm.
and if you drive close to where there's a broadcasting taking place, your needle goes right over. So that's where they see him. But the wife had heard sometime back here, not very long ago, someone made a remark on the CB that it's going to pee hunt her down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all this thing all goes gets together, you know, and you get to thinking about it, and when I seen all them damn lights, and I thought they was lying to me, and you know, they were just going to get me out down there far enough and they would jump me.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was afraid of. And of course, some guys started shooting at the chip.
My question to you is, you know, you said here a while back, the fact that you're 70 years old and you can't do what you used to do.
No.
Why did you go out?
Hey, I was going to tell them to get off the property.
Uh-huh.
That's
did you ever think about calling the police and having them come out?
I thought about it, but before it was too late.
Did you think about it earlier?
Well, not really. But
mm-hmm.
It did enter my mind, but you know, you think about guys just driving by, hey, they got a right to be in the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can drive by, I guess, all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can be in the street, you know. I doubt seriously if the police would have come out, you know, saying that, you know, people driving by my house and stuff. Well, hey, you know, I mean, after all,
well, what I'm looking at here too, and you know, I would question anybody who was in a situation, and the fact that you had these individuals that were threatening you, you obviously felt fear, and
I
all
did.
And
I felt fear.
And you felt fear enough to arm yourself with a shotgun,
yeah.
and go out.
Yeah.
Now, did you depend on that shotgun to scare them away?
I thought just the appearance of the gun, they'd say, hey, leave the man alone, let's get out of here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And which anybody in their right mind would have, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
unless they meant bodily harm. I mean, unless they were going to come in and bust my radio up or tear the radio down and stuff like that. That's, you know, the part that. But if I'd have known that was the police out there, hey man, I wouldn't have walked out with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know better than that. I've never seen the inside of a jail.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been in trouble in my life.
I understand. I believe that. What I'm looking at is that now that you've had a chance to sit back and reflect on what happened tonight, you know, the wisest course of action would have been to call the police in the first place.
I'm sure it would have been.
And in this particular respect, someone obviously called the police.
Yeah.
And they were, in this particular situation, someone was fearful of you because you had that shotgun and you were out there in the front yard. And I don't know if it was one of your neighbors or somebody else that had called. You know, obviously you were out there in at least the driveway area and were visible to other individuals.
Yeah.
And law enforcement officer gets a call of a man with a gun. You know, now you never thought of any of this when you went out there with a shotgun.
No, well, no, not really. But I didn't go out there to shoot somebody.
Yeah.
The same.
You went out to scare someone.
I went out to scare somebody, and it all unfortunately wound up, how it wound up. But them guys hadn't been messing around and fooling with us, it never would have happened in the first place. It's really unfortunate that, you know, they want to harass somebody until it gets out of hand, completely out of hand. But what really screwed up the whole works, I thought it was them.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd been there with a light before with a terrible light, you know, bright light. And I thought, Jesus, they come back with a whole bunch and they just gonna harass the hell out of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, hey, you know, there ain't no business up here at my house. I mean, there ain't no business, you know, coming right up to the door. Mm-mm.
So rather than call police, you decided to handle it yourself.
Well, all I was going to do was scare them guys off.
Mm, well, that's what the police probably would have done too, don't you think? So actually, in this respect, you kind of, you know, took the matter in your own hand and went out there, and what happened from that point on occurred because of the fact that you made that choice. And you made that conscious choice that you were going to go out and scare them, and you were going to use a shotgun, right?
Well, all it was.
Now, I'm not scolding you or anything.
No,
I'm just saying that's
what
happened, right?
I understand, but I don't know. It's unfortunate that the thing ever happened in the first place.
Certainly is. Yeah, the only real fortunate thing here is that no one got more seriously hurt than you did.
Yeah, right. Because I never intended to shoot somebody. It was just to scare some, you know, say, hey, just go and leave this guy alone, and, you know.
What type of shotgun is it? I didn't see it. Our officers have got
it. It's a Model 870 Wingmaster 12 gauge pump.
How many rounds are in it?
Two.
One in the chamber? Did you rack it to scare him, or?
Whenever the idea was to rack it.
Uh-huh.
And they'd say, hey, you know, get out of here, leave him alone. But if I'd have racked that gun, and of course everything took place all at once,
mm-hmm.
when that. But if I'd have racked the gun and the guys hadn't left, I'd have just had went back in the house and followed the law.
When you stepped out, did you rack the action of the shotgun?
No.
Was there a round in the chamber or
no.
In the magazine?
Excuse me. I racked the gun because I thought it was those guys, and I was going to the rattle of the gun. Will
the psychological effect of hearing that shotgun stroke?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the safety was never touched.
Okay. Okay, when the shooting started, after they yelled, drop the gun, and put the gun down, and everything like that, how were you holding the gun? Do you remember?
I just had the gun this way, like this.
Okay, when you say this way, like this, you're talking about across your waist, kind of the muzzle?
No,
the
muzzle was over towards that, the fifth wheel that's over on the left.
Okay, you were right-handed?
Yeah, I'm right-handed.
So you're holding it in your right hand and you stepped out the door?
I stepped out the door, but the gun was across my body like this. Okay. I stepped out there, and of course, you know, whenever, hell, when all the foreign started, geez, I didn't know. You know, I couldn't imagine, I mean, but they said it was the police.
Uh-huh. You heard that clearly?
I heard that clearly, yeah. But what I'm trying to do is decide how I'm going to say, hey, fellas, hold it. You know, I ain't trying to kill nobody here.
Uh-huh.
And I kept hollering at them, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. But they kept shooting.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hollering, hold it, hold it. And it's like, hell, it's too late. And they already,
unfortunately, yeah,
somebody whacked
it. Happened so fast. And it probably took place in just a couple seconds.
It did. It's honest to God, it did. I mean, you know. But, you know, things like that keep bugging me and bugging me, and them guys keep aggravating me and things like that. So it really is pathetic. And nowadays, I tell you know what, you hear so much stuff on the news, and you see so much stuff, people killing one another and all that stuff. So you don't know what's going to take place now. It's really unbelievable.
Well, I kind of hope that you would think that, you know, living in Camarillo, those things don't happen every day.
Hey, right. Yeah, you're right.
Well,
but it's going to get up here.
Yeah, unfortunately, we'll probably see
that. Yeah. And these guys drive around and talk about taking dope. They talk about who's got it. Hey, all that stuff going on, you know, all the time. You don't know whether they're high in hell on dope or you're drunk or you don't know what's going on. And, it gets down to the point where, hey, you know, just don't want them up to your house and, you know, arguing about something.
That's true. I understand that.
That's right. And unfortunately, that's the way it all happened.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, it was just, I hate like hell that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that I'm alive. I mean, you know.
Certainly. I think you made it kind of a bad choice there, don't you, in coming out with that shotgun?
Well, I shouldn't have come out with a shotgun.
Yeah. Should have called the cops.
I know.
Because someone else did. So, you know, somebody was worried about what was going
on
in the neighborhood.
Well, my wife called the call for them whenever that took place. And whenever I put the gun down over there, I'd already been hit.
Uh-huh.
And I just turned around and I walked back in the house because the blood was just streaming, you know. And she said, hold it, lay down there, and, you know, lay down and I'll put this towel around. And she put the towel around and she jumped up there and called 911 and sent the police up there. Because we still didn't know it was actually was police, but I hadn't seen nobody yet. I did hear the guns and I felt the shot, but I hadn't seen nobody yet.
They never saw a uniform or a badge?
No. The only thing I seen when I laid the gun down, I did see a police car.
Okay?
It was down the street from the house, you know, it was hidden from me during all of what was going on, but when I laid the gun down over close to the edge of the driveway, I just laid it down, and, you know, and hollering at them to hold it, fellas, you know. Don't shoot anymore. When I did that, I saw a police car, and I knew damn well then, hell, that was police.
No, all of a sudden, you realized what had happened, huh?
Well, yeah, because I thought it was them other guys that was really after me, and I thought they were the ones doing the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they was trying to tell them. They were trying to trick me. What I had in my mind was they were trying to trick me into that they were the police, and I knew darn well that. Well, it all happened pretty fast.
Yeah.
You made up your mind before you went out there who it was. And when they said the
police,
you just knew that it wasn't the police.
That's right. That was the problem. If I hadn't had that thought, I would have. It wouldn't have ever happened.
Well, Walter, the problem was you going out in the first place.
Yeah.
You wish you hadn't now, huh?
Oh, dear.
You wish you would have called the police.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the choice that you made that started all this.
Yeah, Well, you don't think much about it, you know, when you end up in a situation.
Kind of a let emotion kind of take over a little bit,
I don't know, you know, I've been in court, been on juries and all kinds of things, but you never know what's going to happen to you until it happens, you know.
When did the police officers first make contact with you then? You were inside the house when you first actually saw someone in uniform?
No.
Did you come back out?
I was out the house. See, how come he'd come out house with all these bright lights?
No, I'm talking about when you first saw actually an officer in uniform and realized you had it.
Well, I was already in the house.
Okay. And your wife was wrapping the towel around your arm. 911 had been called.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even see them until, you know, they said, come out. I opened the door, I turned the outside lights on, and they said, come out, you know, and said, lay down, and I laid down.
That's the first time you turned on the outside lights, so the lights were off?
Yeah, they were off. I didn't turn them on until,
Okay, and then the uniformed officer came up to you?
Yeah.
Okay, he came up.
I said, don't bend my arm back to handcuff me because I've been hit in the arm. And he said, all right. And you know, he put the cuff on me out in front. And still dragging my arm back around. You know, I told him, I said, yeah, I ain't got nothing else. I don't have nothing. You know, but my arm was feeling hurt.
Yeah, I can imagine. You're very, very lucky. You're very lucky.
Oh, definitely on that.
Put yourself in the mind of the law enforcement officers, and they've been called to a man with a gun. They come not knowing what had happened prior to this, and they come up, and the lights that they're shining, and they're looking for the house and looking for the address, looking to see what's back in there in that dark area that, you know, your prowler sits there, the fifth wheel. The area's kind of recessed. When they get out to see what's going on, here they're confronted with a man that has a shotgun, and he racks that shotgun, and you know why you did that, so that it would scare him, and it did.
You
got their attention real quick.
I'm sure I did, but see, all the time I didn't know it was them.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's these other dudes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a misfortune thing. I mean, to have it. I didn't know. I didn't come out to kill nobody.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
You came out to scare him.
I came out to scare him. I thought it was those guys, and they, you know, shine these lights on me because they'd been by there with him, high-powered light, that one guy had. And it'll just blind you, you know. You can't see crap.
Well, you did what you wanted to do. You scared him. You scared him real good. And in this particular case, you're standing there with that shotgun and you had just racked it, and you're not putting it down when they're telling you to. You know, put yourself in the minds of those law enforcement officers. They were afraid for their lives.
And all the time, you know, when they were saying put it down, well, I'm thinking, well, these dudes are going to jump me, you know, these other guys, you know. I didn't know it was the damn police. I mean, jeepers. Definitely. I'm sorry it happened. But.
Yeah, I am too. I'm really sorry it happened. And I'm just feel very glad that death is lightly injured as you are.
Yeah. I don't know what the penalty was. Kind of big trouble on me.
Well, we're still going to be putting this thing together. And you can understand from our perspective that, you know, we have a man with a gun call. The officers arrive. They find a man with a gun. The man is threatening him as far as racking the action, making all those motions as if he's going to shoot. You know, all the things that you really were going through your mind that you made a conscious effort to do, only thinking that it was someone else.
Yeah.
The officers command you to put it down, you don't. They fire because they feel that they have no alternative. What we have now is we're going to sit down, we're going to take a look at all the circumstances, and I'm not going to lie to you. There could be some possibility of some charges being filed. That's going to be up to the district attorney after we completed our investigation. but I want you to know that he's going to get a copy of the tape recording, he's going to get my interview of you, and he will know then everything that was going through your mind as far as what precipitated your action.
The main thing was I thought it was some sort of guys. I didn't think it was police.
Okay.
And that's why I kept, that's why I said to the police, mm-hmm. hey, you're not the police, sir. You know, get out of here. Mm-hmm. But it was the police, but I didn't know it was because it was dark out there, you know.
Now, well, we get back to the one thing, and that is that, you know, you made that conscious choice to go out there and, yeah. and scare those guys, and that's what started the whole thing. So you look at it, you know, that choice you made, that's your responsibility of
yeah.
what happened from that point on. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have called the cops.
That's yeah, what, I've always heard for. All my life, you know, don't yeah. take matters in your own hands, call the sheriff.
Yeah. Now you know why the people said that.
I sure do.
And if you would have called, we would have been there. And you'd been making this report instead of being a part of the report.
Yeah.
At least you're around, so that
yeah.
You can yeah. call the cops if this happens again, okay?
You better
and,
be.
And, you know, there's, you know, you can imagine how the deputies feel. They feel, they're going to feel real badly about this. Because
I
they
know.
Don't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah, I won't apologize to everyone.
Yeah.
Really. I yeah. really, I won't apologize to those guys. But, hell, I wouldn't have. I had no intention of shooting no policeman.
Yes, sir. I don't have a doubt on that.
No way.
Okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to go over all the things that we have to do as far as seeing what went on at the scene through the physical evidence, seeing what went on through the interviews that we're going to conduct with both the deputies that were there and yourself. And like I said, we talked to Vivian, and we're going to see what her side of the story is, and we're going to try and put them all together, and we'll determine from there what's going to happen. And once the report is done, it will go to the district attorney's office. He'll take a look at it, and he'll review it for you know what his office wants to do.
Yeah, okay. It was an unfortunate thing to happen.
Yeah,
but it did happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, as unfortunate as it was, the one fortunate thing is that you're not hurt anywhere.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, it could have. That doctor said if it hit me in the bone, it would have. I'd lost my arm.
Hey, it's you know it's possible anytime mm-hmm. somebody has damage like that. That's you know you're just real fortunate. I'm glad to see that. Well, I'm gonna terminate this interview and allow you to go up and try and get some sleep. And it's gonna be tough. But
yeah, well.
What we're gonna do now is I'm gonna call my boss and find out what we're gonna do from here. Okay. So,
appreciate
sorry
it.
We had to meet under these circumstances.
Yeah, me and you both, man.
Okay.
Because I've never been in trouble in my life. It's the first time I've ever been in trouble.
Well, sometimes we make
mistakes,
you know, and we do something that we really regret and we wish we hadn't done.
Yeah.
But if we learn by our mistakes and we survive, you know.
Yeah.
So, and we'll make sure that Vivian's taken care of. I asked her to make sure that. You know, if she needed any medicine, because she told me that she had been under the care of the doctor.
Yeah, she's got lupus.
But she seems to be, she's handling it very well.
Yeah, so, stress is one thing she don't need. She got a heart that's out of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, having a heck of a time trying to get some medicine with her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'll be out of it, it'll be well.
You just have to take care of her. Okay, it's now 4:06. So what I'm going to do is let you let the medical people take care of you and get you back upstairs so that you can get some rest. Okay? I may be back to talk to you. I will do it during hours where you're awake and I won't hit you in the middle of the night or anything like that. Maybe another investigator might come in and talk to you. The district attorney's people might come in and talk to you. But they'll be doing the same thing that I've done here and just trying to find out what happened.
Yeah.
You know, our business is to come to the truth of the matter and find out
what I told you is exactly what, to the very best of my knowledge, what happened. I wouldn't like to talk.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you talking to me.
Thank you.
And like I said, we'll make sure that Vivian's okay.
Thank
all right? You take care of yourself.
Thank you.